Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Lord. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. My life is in you, Lord. My hope is in you. My strength is in you. You are my salvation. Hallelujah. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand upon us today. You'll save, that you'll heal, that you'll deliver, that you break the chains and liberate the captive, open prison doors. Lord, to those who are bound, they may go free. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Hallelujah. So just a reminder, we are continuing our prayer, but now it's going to be Monday night at 6 and Friday night at 6. And then we have our midweek at 6 o'clock as well on Wednesday. And discipleship will be Thursday night at 7. It's all there in your bulletin. But just a reminder, Father, I just thank you again for the day you've given us, Lord, the life that we have in you, the hope that we have in you, the mercy that we've found in you. And Lord, we want to live the life that you've called us to and be the people you've called us to be. We know, Lord, apart from you, this is impossible. Lord, we rely upon your Holy Spirit. We rely upon your power, Lord, to do what we're called to do, to be who we're called to be. And so, Lord, I ask that you would grant me today utterance to speak. Lord, give me ears to hear your voice. But, Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding today. Lord, help us all not just to hear with our ears, but understand with our hearts, Lord. And I pray that there will be a change, that we know only you can bring that change, Lord God. But help us, Lord, that we will have a heart that is willing to cooperate with you, Lord, in this. For, Lord, you are looking for an honest heart. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that without you, we're nothing. We can't do it without you. But we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. So, Lord, I thank you for this morning, this day, and for the people of God, and for what you're doing, Lord, even here. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I don't have all the answers. Anybody here have all the answers? But we know who does, right? So we trust him, you know? When we can't figure things out with our head, we trust the heart of God. We know the Lord is good. And he's good to all who call upon him in truth, right? Thank you, Lord. Are there any overcomers here this morning? Hallelujah. Who is the overcomer? Jesus is the ultimate overcomer. Amen. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. So we know he is the overcomer. But do you also realize that in Christ, those who follow him, they are also overcomers? What you believe will determine what you receive from God. Do you believe that Jesus sets you free from sin? The power of sin cannot rule over you. You have faith in that, that Jesus has conquered it at the cross. And so what you believe will determine what you're receiving. I declare today that I'm a free man. I'm no longer bound by fear. I'm no longer bound by sin. But I have been liberated. I've been set free by the power of God. And my responsibility is to enforce in my life what God has what? Already done. What he's already accomplished. That's what we do. By faith, we enforce what God has already accomplished. You know, this Christian life is not a sprint. I wish it were. But it's a long haul. It's a marathon. Right? And it is a day-by-day, a step-by-step run. And, you know, Paul likened the Christian life to a race, like a marathon race, you know. And if you ever ran at a long race, a foot race before, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to prepare for it. Amen? And you need to know how to pace yourself. Mm-hmm. Not everybody that starts out strong finishes strong. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they're out the gate, boy, they're just like giving it their best. You know? And about a couple miles down the road, you'll see them puttering out on the side. Why? Because they didn't know how to pace themselves in this race. Do you know the Lord has a certain rhythm for your life? There's a pace of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And if we will stay in step with the Holy Spirit, we will finish our race and we won't burn out. We won't fall out. We won't fall back. Amen. We need to just keep ourselves yoked together, linked up together with Jesus on a daily basis, understanding that this is not a sprint, but a marathon, right? This is the long haul. So listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24. And the title of the message today is He Who Overcomes. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. If we're going to finish well, if we're going to overcome, we're going to have to learn how to walk daily with the Lord. We are incapable of finishing this race well apart from Jesus. Would you say amen? Amen. Because many people, they begin well, but they fail. They don't finish well. So God wants every one of us to finish well. And the reason why we can finish well is because Jesus has already gone before us. He is the forerunner that's gone before us into heaven itself. He's paved the way for us. He's made that way for us already. And He's given us the strength that we need to complete this journey, amen, and to finish with joy. I don't want to just be dragging over the finish line, amen. I want to be finishing with a big smile, amen. And that big smile I want to see come from Jesus, amen, where He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So we want to finish well, amen. It's not enough just to begin well. Many people are like you call the bottle rocket, Christian. You know, they start out, they blow up, and boom, it's over. Amen? But God wants us to be the long-distance runners. And He's the one that gives us the ability to endure all things in this world that would come against us. All opposition. Amen. Jesus has already overcome the enemy of our soul. When Jesus called Israel to go into the land, He said, "Dispossess it. Drive out the giants. I've given it to you as an inheritance." Amen. Go in and possess your freedom. So don't allow anything or anyone to hinder you in your race. All right? Because God wants you to finish well. He wants you to finish strong. He wants you to overcome the world. All right? Because, again, He has overcome the world. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Amen. So do you believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Yes, because the Lord is the strength of my life. You see, as we grow in the Lord, we learn to lean more on Him and less on us. Our problem is that we trust too much in ourselves. And the world feeds us that message, well, you just need greater esteem or self-confidence. No, you need to put your confidence in God, who is able to make all grace abound to you. And when you're walking in the grace of God, He will give you a self-confidence. But it's not a self-confidence. It's a confidence that comes from Him that will sustain you, that will strengthen you in your journey. And so we need to understand that in order to finish this race well, we're going to have to be well nourished. Amen? We're going to have to go through some exercises to build up our muscles, amen, and our stamina. And so God allows things in our lives, all right, to condition us for the race that's ahead, because we still have a journey ahead of us. Would you agree? We don't know when the finish line is going to be for our personal lives, but I do know that His grace is sufficient for me. Amen? And I do know this, that in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. In my inability is His ability, and I have to trust in the grace of the Lord and not in self. Paul had great confidence at the end of his life because he knew he had fully accomplished the will of God. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to be able to say that with such conviction like he did. He knew that he did what God told him to do. He finished well. Finally, he said, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So this was Paul's attitude also when it came to his Christian walk. In Philippians 3:13, he says this, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Listen, everybody say, forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead. So forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So today, just say, I hit the reset button, amen, on yesterday. Yesterday was good. Thank God for the victories of yesterday. Amen. But there's something fresh that God has for you today. There is nourishment that He has for you today. He is your daily bread. He is the one that will sustain you. Amen. So just forget about it. Amen. And say, thank you, Lord, for this new day, this new beginning, this fresh start. Amen. I'm just going to go forward. Amen. Because you can't go back. What did he say in verse 14? I press on to reach the end of the race. I press on and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So Paul understood that he needed to persevere in his mission in order to reach the destiny that God had for him. So he could have aborted God's plan for his life if he wasn't careful. Do you understand that? We can abort the plan of God for our lives if we're not careful. How many know you have an adversary that's trying to disrupt things? He's a thief. He's a liar. Amen? He's a destroyer. He came to kill, didn't he? He hates you because you and I were made in the image of our God. Hallelujah. And you and I as God's special people, amen, the peculiar people, a separated people now in the new covenant. Amen? He wants to do whatever he can to try to mess things up. So we need to be wise in understanding that we do have a real adversary. And personally, we're no match for him. We need the power of God. We need the Spirit of God in us. We need to rely upon the Word and the Spirit of God in order to overcome daily in this race that we're in, this marathon. It is a everyday thing. And the enemy would like to derail you. He would like to distract you, to get you off course. If he can just do it for a day and maybe 2 days. And then the third day comes a little easier. And next thing you know, you're falling out. You're running out of steam. Well, you might have started well, but the key is to finish well. Amen? We want to finish well. So we need to eat what's right. We need a good diet, amen? How many know God has given us His Word to nourish us, right? He's given us the drink of His Holy Spirit, the fuel of God's Word, the drink of His Holy Spirit. And without the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to finish well. Amen. See, some people don't really understand the relationship with the Holy Spirit, but they are big into the Word. Word. But we need the Word and the Spirit. Amen. We need a relationship with God so that we can really understand the Word, first of all. Because human intellect is incapable of understanding God, knowing God. God is only revealed through His Spirit. And that's why there's so much confusion and separation, even in Christendom, among so many different doctrines that are out there. Because, come on, He's not divided, amen? God is true all the time. So what we need to know is what is true. And the only way we can know what is true is by the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. So when we read the Word, we commit it to the Holy Spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. Amen. See, a lot of people, they're just coming in it from a human intellectual point of view. Amen. And so there's going to be confusion in that. Inconsistency. But we need, as God's people who are on a race, we need to be self-disciplined. You're not going to finish a race if you don't have self-discipline. Amen. And again, we need to stay in step with the Lord every day. Hallelujah. Oh, believe me, I've done a lot of sprinting in my time. Have you done some sprinting yourself? And I've actually had the opportunity to run in a marathon before with the Army. So, sound and arrows, yeah. And let me tell you, if you don't get in the right pace, because that last stretch is all uphill. I was doing fine until that last stretch. But we actually had practice for that too. You know, you have to do some training and prepare for that. But the point is that you and I have been given everything that we need already. It's freely given to us in Christ that pertains to life and to godliness. There's no excuse for us not finishing well when God has made everything available to us. Amen. He even prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Come and dine with me. They can't touch this. We need intimacy with God. Jesus said in John 6:53, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." How many, when you first read that, said, "What?" Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." What is Jesus doing here? Well, people found this offensive, what he was doing, but he was using food as an illustration that we must ingest or take his life into us. We must receive his life into us in order to be spiritually nourished and sustained. All right? Because the food of this world, as you know, is temporary. But he is eternal life. All right? So when we eat physical food, we take it into our being, and it becomes a part of us. How many of you heard it said, "You are what you eat"? When we eat and drink of the life of Jesus, he abides in us, right? And we abide in him. So the Lord said, the time is coming now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. All right, not formality, not religious, right, pomp, but in reality and in truth through a relationship with the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Now we worship him from our heart, from our spirit. And as we worship God, we commune with God in our spirit. Jesus said to them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. So that's why we drink deeply of his life. That's why we give God praise and give God thanks. Amen. Because as you give God praise, hallelujah, it's like ingesting his life into you. Hallelujah. You know, I like to put it this way. It's like giving God a hug in the spirit. Amen. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit. So you're in your heart, you're embracing him. You're ingesting his life. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. We receive you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to be nourished in the Holy Spirit. We need to be strengthened in the Holy Spirit. So through the worship, amen, and through the word, we are nourished, we are built up, we're sustained by that so that we can overcome to the end. You see, have you ever heard it said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste? A few years back, remember the commercial? How many know that your life is even greater thing to waste? God gives you one opportunity, doesn't he? Amen. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it up to this point, but God says enough is enough. Amen. It's time to get it right here and get right with me. Hallelujah. And I'll take you in the journey. I'll sustain you. I'll nourish you. I'll build you up. And I'll use you, hallelujah, in ways you never thought. Because the devil lies to us and says, oh, you're just too rotten. You're just too bad. You're just too sinful. You're just such a failure. You're such a loser. He's a liar. God didn't create any losers here. Can you say amen? Not a one of us. Just because you fail doesn't make you a failure. You're only a failure if you quit. So we don't quit because we know God is with us. And we know that the Lord has grace for us to move on. Amen. So again, just hit the reset and say, okay, today I'm putting my foot down. Amen. I'm not going back, looking back. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let the devil beat me over the head over my past. Come on. How many believe that God forgives you? And what forgiveness means is He cancels the debt. It means He's no longer holding it against you. Go free. Walk free. Accept that reality and thank God for a new day, a new beginning. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be on fire for Jesus. And I want to live the rest of my life for His name. Amen? Amen. I want to bear fruit unto eternal life. I've spent enough time in the world. Amen. It's time now to take up my cross and follow Jesus. And don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow Him. I can do all things because I have decided to follow Jesus. You and I have been allotted a certain window of opportunity. You know? And so the enemy is trying very hard to convince people that their life is of no value. Yeah. The enemy hates life. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that those who love death hate God. He is the author of life. So the enemy tries to convince people that they're worthless, their life has no value, you might as well just end it. Because you see, God sees value in you. Because you don't redeem something that's worthless. But if the devil can convince you that you're not worth anything, then what he can do is he can rob you of your opportunity that God has given you, amen, to bear fruit unto eternal life. And hallelujah. And I don't know the answer to suicide, but I will say this, I wouldn't give it a chance, amen. I'm not going to tempt God. But see, the devil is good at sowing hopelessness and despair and trying to make things appear like they're just too far gone. There's just nothing you can do about it. Well, it's just the way it has to be. How many know God can change any situation? He can turn it around. How many here have already witnessed that in your own life? Man, God has done a phenomenal work in your heart, in your life. But when we take our last breath, it's going to be too late to go back and redeem the time that has passed. And I look around this room, there's plenty of gray hair here. Or missing hair. And that just means we're getting closer to that time, amen? And so the older you get, the more you realize, yeah, life is precious, right? And life is quick. And I don't want to finish poorly, I want to finish well. So it doesn't matter what point you might have fallen out of the race, why don't you get back in the race today and say, you know what? I'm going to get back with Jesus again. I'm going to start seeking Him. I'm going to call upon Him. And I'm going to allow the Lord to fill my life with His presence again, with His Holy Spirit again, to nourish and build and strengthen me, amen, so that I can endure the rest of my days here well and finish with joy. Because the Lord wants you to finish well. The Lord is waiting at the end. He is rooting for you. Did you believe that? God actually wants you to do well. How many here want our kids to do well? Yes. Amen. Our Father wants us to do well. And so He has made available to us all that we have need of. He's provided for us His Word, His Spirit. Amen. To nourish us, to make us strong. And that's why our theme is revival continually. We're always talking about revival, coming back to life. Amen. We need a revival in America. We need a revival in the Northwest. We need a revival in our own lives. Can you say amen? Amen. We want to stay awake. Hallelujah. And so God wants to move upon His people, but you and I have to also have a sense need of His presence. And so the Lord will allow things to happen in our lives to get our attention, to cause us to understand that we actually do need Him. Mm-hmm. And that without Him, we can't do it. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we begin well. We begin in faith. We're excited about Jesus. But somewhere along the line, the enemy has derailed us. He's got us distracted. These other things have come in and taken God's place in our hearts. They're called idols. Worldly things. And then they never satisfy. They always leave you emptier. So in Ephesians 5:15, Paul said, so be careful how you live. How many know this one? Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. God is calling every one of us to a full surrender, a full commitment to Him. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. How many here know exactly what God wants you to do? And if you can't answer that, I would say, why don't we find out? Why don't we seek the Lord, right? Inquire of the Lord. Take the time to discover who you are in Him, who He is in you. And start to take the steps of obedience. Because again, this is a marathon. It is a day-by-day walk of faith in the Son of God, amen. And God will begin to reveal things to you as you are faithful in what He's already entrusted to you. He will reveal to you, amen, more if you've been faithful in what He's already revealed to you. So God wants us to be faithful and take the steps. And that means I have to be disciplined. That means I need to be in church. Somebody say amen. Amen. I need to be gathering with God's people. I need to be in prayer every day. Amen. I need to be in the Word every day. I need to be obeying the voice of the Lord every day. I need to be faithful in the little things that He shows me to do. Some people are asking for the great big thing and they're not even being faithful in the little thing. Come on. Just steps of obedience. Don't look for packed stadiums or anything like that. Amen. Just say, Lord, what can I do today? What can we do together today to make a difference? Following Jesus requires a lifetime commitment. And this is where a lot of people get off. It's like, well, I don't know if I want to do that much. I don't want to go that far. I've heard people say, you've got too much religion. No, I don't have religion, amen. I'm free from religion, praise God. And I've never heard of anybody having too much Jesus, come on. I've heard of people not having enough oil, but I've never heard of anybody having too much oil. How about, we want to be an overflowing vessel for God, amen. We want to be oozing the anointing of God. So we've got to be saturated, we need to be filled up, we need to be worshipers. Amen, we need to press in past the outer court, amen. Past just a hand clapping and looking around the room to getting into the deep place with God, amen, where God's going to begin to open your understanding and reveal to you who you are in Him and who He is in you and what His plan is for your life. As we wait on the Lord, God will speak to us. Jesus said it this way in Luke 14:28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. What matters is that we finish well. You may be having a rough start in all of this. Amen. But what matters is that you finish well. And by the grace of God, you can do all things. You can overcome because the overcomer is in you. Have you been born again? If Christ is not in you, then you're just trying in your own strength to be a Christian. You can't. You can't just act like a Christian. You must become a Christian. You must be born again. You must receive that new heart, and He will put His Spirit within you. And you will begin to love the things that God loves and hate the things that He hates. And we simply need to cooperate with God in this process. You see, Paul didn't allow anything or anyone to deter him from his purpose in life. He didn't allow people or circumstances to deter him from his divine purpose. Why? Because he wanted to complete his mission with joy, knowing full well that it would mean self-denial and suffering as well. So if you've fallen out of the race, it's time to get back in the race. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, the Lord will never turn you away if you just turn back to Him. Amen. He said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. But you've got to make the decision. Nobody can make it for you. No priest can pray you out of purgatory or pray you into heaven. Amen. You need to make a decision, a personal decision for Jesus Christ and a life commitment, because this is a marriage.
Amen.
This is, amen, for better or for worse. And I know that it's better in Jesus, amen. It doesn't mean you don't have hard days or hard times, but it does mean that you have a faithful bridegroom that looks out after you. He'll take care of you, amen. And He's making us beautiful for eternity. He's preparing His people. Hallelujah. He's going to have a holy church. Without spot or blemish, right? Or wrinkle. Father, we thank You today for Your word. We thank You that You are with us. We thank You that You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of You. Lord, we thank You that You have opened the way into the holiest, and that we can come by way of the blood of the new covenant. And today, Holy Father, I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen each one of us. Strengthen us with might in the inner man. Lord, I pray that You will stir our hearts, awaken our hearts to life again. Remove the scales from our eyes, Lord, that we can see as You see, that we can hear Your voice, that we may follow You. For You said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Lord Jesus, our eyes are upon You today. For Lord, You are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through You. So Lord, I pray for salvation, healing, and deliverance for Your people. Father, in Jesus' name, draw us near to You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Repentance simply means a change of direction or change of mind. God says, make up your mind. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And let's sing this together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And there's another verse that says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Now let's just lift our hands to the Lord right now and give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Amen. Give praise to the Lord right now. Ingest His life into you. Hallelujah. Receive His life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Our hope, our strength is in you, Lord God. Our life is in you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray fresh baptism with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain down right now. Lord, just immerse us, envelop us. Lord, capture our hearts and our minds. Fill our lives anew, Lord God. Strengthen us again with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Hallelujah. And make us a vessel of honor for you. Use us, Lord God, as your vessels as we enter the mission field outside these doors. For your name's sake, Lord God, fill us with your power. Oh, we praise you and thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. So be it, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us light up our Jerusalem. Amen. Our neighborhoods, hallelujah, where we live, where we work, where we walk, and our Judea, hallelujah, even as we're interceding for our nation, we're asking the Lord to save the Northwest, to save Washington State, to save this nation. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Father. Keep your hand to the plow. Amen. God bless you.